Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Is there spiritual warfare taking place in your home? Is there spiritual warfare taking place with your kids, with your children? Don't grow weary in doing well. Don't say, I've done good and bad things have happened to me, so I'm just going to quit.
You pray and pray and pray and still see no results. Or maybe you're doing everything right, yet you see everyone else around you getting blessed while your road just seems to get more and more difficult. If you're in need of encouragement and persevering in prayer, in battle, please stay with us as we continue in the wisdom of Galatians chapter 6. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson.
I love verse 9. Let us not grow weary in well-doing or in doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. You may do well. You may seek God. You may treat people right. Bad things seem to happen to you. You just don't see any results from your prayers. You just don't see anything happening in the lives of those you're seeking God for. Hang on, persevere, for in due season you will reap. Don't grow weary in doing good. How many people have begun to pray and then after a while said, well, I'm done. I've prayed for my son and nothing has happened. Your prayers will make a difference in his life. But there's a season. There's a time you plant the seeds and you walk out and nothing changes. The ground looks the same. And then there's little bitty plants and you might say, well, that's insignificant. It doesn't matter. But come back in the time of harvest and you find that there's been a great crop that has been produced from what you've sown. What if Daniel would have grown tired of praying after 18 days and quit, never got to 21? He would have never received the word when he started praying. Gabriel was dispatched to him, but there was spiritual warfare taking place. Is there spiritual warfare taking place in your home? Is there spiritual warfare taking place with your kids, with your children? Don't grow weary in doing well. Don't say, I've done good and bad things have happened to me, so I'm just going to quit. We pointed out a while ago in a study on the soils that is a shallow faith. A shallow faith is, I'll serve you, God, if good things happen to me. Jesus, of course, gave us encouragement after encouragement of perseverance. Persevere when you pray. An example after example of perseverance. Don't grow weary in doing well. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. Let's do good to everybody. Let's bless everybody. Jesus said, bless those who curse you. You get to practice that, well, fairly often when you drive. Bless those who curse you. Next time somebody curses you, pray for them. Lord, bless them. Give them a good day. Pray for them. But do good to all, but especially to those of the household of faith. Why make things difficult and tough for other believers? Why not look for ways to come alongside of them and to strengthen them, and to make what they do be a joy in their lives? Look for ways to be a blessing and not a discouragement. Look for ways to do good to all, but especially to those of the household of faith. We have a special love for our children. Our kids hold a tender and special place in our heart. And when one of our friends takes an interest to bless one of our children, that really blesses us, doesn't it? We're really moved by that because we love our kids. God loves you, but he also loves that Christian that you're annoyed at, you're getting after. He loves them deeply. When you treat them poorly, breaks God's heart because God wants to bless them. But when you bless them, it blesses God. Do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. Worthy of us blessing one another, strengthening one another. There are too many who tear down. What were the words of Paul last week? Remember in Galatians chapter 5? But if you bite and you eat one another, you'll end up devouring one another. Here is the opposite. Lift one another up. Strengthen one another. Do good to everyone, but especially to those of the household of faith. He says, see with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. Now, earlier Paul had said, it was because of an infirmity, a sickness, that I ministered to you, and you guys would have torn out your own eyes and given them to me. From that verse and from this one that I just read, we deduce that Paul had an eye disease. You tore out your own eyes and you would have given them to me, tells us there's something wrong with Paul's eyes with that infirmity. Do you see with what large letters I write to you? He wasn't talking about the letter of Galatians being lengthy. It's fairly short compared to Romans, compared to 1st and 2nd Corinthians. I believe Paul wrote Hebrews compared to Hebrews. It's a fairly short letter. He's talking about the size of his letters. Paul felt so strong about these Judaizers that he wrote this letter in his own hand. He normally had someone dictate the letter for him, but this one he wrote in his own hand, and he wrote it with large letters. And there were people coming saying, listen, this letter's from Paul. He's telling you that you got to obey the law. And so Paul says, this is my signature. This is the way you know if a letter comes from me. He says in verse 12, as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Paul now revisits the main reason for his letter. And he says that these people are not moving in the spirit, they are in the flesh, because heresies are a work of the flesh. That's, again, Galatians chapter 5. Heresies are the work of the flesh. And so they come alongside trying to win people to themselves, and they don't want to take the shame of the cross. If you could say, well, I became religious and I was circumcised and I kept the law in order to be saved. But if you say, I believe that Jesus died upon the cross for me, even in this day, those who are intellectual consider you to be stupid. Really? You believe that something done 2,000 years ago can save you today? You believe that what Jesus did on the cross 2,000, the intellectuals say that's silly. No, it's really silly to believe that we came out of the ooze a while ago, turned into monkey-like creatures, and here we are today. It's really silly. There's no precedent in the fossil record. There's no precedent. We've never seen evolution actually take place. All we can see is what we have here today. But they'll say it's silly. And those who are religious, it's a stumbling block. Those who are religious, they want to get you working. They stumble over the cross. So Paul says what they don't want is the cross. And it really is an attack on the cross. Anytime I say to you, you've got to do this and you've got to add this to the cross in order to be saved, I'm saying the cross doesn't have enough. The blood that was shed, the nails that were driven, the hours hung on the cross night and day, 3 hours in the daytime, 3 hours at night, the thirst, the writhing, the suffering that he did is not sufficient for your salvation. You have to add to it by some work you do. They're doing this in the flesh because they want you for themselves. They want to win you for themselves, not for the sake of the cross, Paul said. He goes on to say, for not even those who are circumcised keep the law. He says, these guys are a bunch of hypocrites. Jesus said the same thing. He said to the scribes and Pharisees, you yourself don't even lift up one finger to keep the law, and yet you lay heavy burdens on people, on other people. He says, but they desire to have you, that they may boast in your flesh. They desire to win you. It's not a matter of them bringing you to Christ, having you be a disciple for Christ. It's a matter of them winning you. You become like a trophy for them. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. It's not the only place that Paul says the only thing that I will boast in is the cross. And he says, I've crucified myself to the world. I'm dead to it. And the world is dead to me. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace, mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. A reference to all followers, the Israel of God. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Paul had suffered many, many things for the sake of his call. When Paul met Jesus, very dramatic testimony. He's on the Damascus Road. He sees a bright light. It knocks him off of his donkey. He lands on the ground. He hears a voice, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He says, is that you, Jesus? And he says, I must show you many things that you will suffer. If that were thrown into altar calls, I wonder how many people would respond. I want to raise your hand if you want to suffer for Jesus, you know. Give your life to Jesus, pour your, suffer for it, raise your hand. You know what I think, though? I think that if I were to say that today, just out of, in this room, how many of you will suffer for the sake of Jesus and for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the cross? I think this whole room, minus maybe one or two who would say, I don't quite understand what you're asking me, would raise your hands. Because there's something about that, isn't that, that just bears true to our spirits, doesn't it? You know what? Jesus suffered to bring salvation to this world. Paul said in Philippians, and I complete his suffering in my body. Paul gives a list in Corinthians, shipwrecked, beaten, perils of the ocean and perils of thieves. And he gives this list of all the things that he had gone through and all the things that he had suffered. Paul certainly never came to Christ saying, if you'll make my life better, if you'll make it easy, I'll become a Christian. He knew it. There was a price and there was a cost to that. Paul also knew that because of the suffering that he had suffered, and he's writing Galatians fairly late in his life, he also knew that they shouldn't be troubling him with these things. Paul's upset. These guys have come in and preached this false gospel, and the people in Galatia listened. And so Paul says, trouble me no more, for I bear in my body the marks of Christ. Let me not have to deal with this again, because I bear in my body the marks of Christ. It's an interesting appeal. It's an appeal that not a lot of men could make. I couldn't make that appeal to you. You're going doing something strange or weird or in the church. Don't do it. Make me go through this because I bear in me the marks of Christ. Maybe I will one day. Maybe you will one day. But it's an interesting appeal that few are able to really make. Paul makes it. Don't trouble me with this. For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. And then, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Do you notice how he closed the letter? What's the letter about? The law, work. These guys have come in. You need to keep the law. You need to be circumcised. You can't be saved. So he says, brethren, the grace of the Lord Jesus. Ephesians 2 tells us that you have been saved by grace through faith. It was by believing in him you were saved by grace. Keith Green died when he was 28 years old. He was an interesting guy, to be sure. I think he did more in those 28 years of life than most Christians do their whole entire lifetime. He certainly had a sharp edge to him. One of his songs is called Asleep in the Light. And the song, part of the song says, "Bless me, Lord, bless me, Lord. You know, that's all I ever hear. But no one aches, no one hurts, no one even sheds one tear. But he cries, he weeps, he bleeds, and he cares for your needs. And you just sit back and keep soaking it in. Can't you see it's such sin? He brings people to your door, but you turn them away, and you smile and say, 'God bless you, be at peace,' and all heaven just weeps. And you, when he says it that way in the song, you can't even get out of bed. Jesus rose from the dead, and you can't get out of bed. And you listen to the song, and you go, 'I'm horrible. I'm a horrible guy.'" He said he had that edge to him. He had that, you know, you're not doing enough for God, and you need to do more. Annie Herring from second chapter of Acts tells a story of standing in Texas with them. They had moved last day's ministry to Texas, and she's standing looking over the plot of land, and the sun was setting. The whole second chapter of Acts was there. Keith Green was there. Melanie, his wife, was there. And she says, "What a beautiful sunset the Lord's blessed us with." And Keith Green looked at her and said, "You know what would make this sunset more beautiful? If there was an orphanage right there." That's a sharp edge. And that has a tendency to make you, I commented on a beautiful sunset and now I feel guilty because I wasn't thinking of orphans. If you ever read his biography, which was written by his wife, near the end of his life, he wrote a song called "By the Grace of God, Which I Stand." And in the song, he comes to the realization that I would not be who I am or anyone unless it was by God's grace. And she says near the end of that book that as much he would get into everything wholeheartedly, he would have this passion for everything that he did. If he was going to take in one homeless guy, he took in 20 homeless guys. It's the kind of guy he was. But she says as much as he got into everything else, he got that much into God's grace. When he discovered God's grace, it softened him. No longer did he have those sharp kind of condemning edges. But he discovered the deep grace of God, which has no bounds. God's grace by which I stand. Without it, I would be lost. Without it, you wouldn't be here. Who could ever claim to work for their own salvation? Who could ever claim to do enough to work for your own salvation? It is only by his grace. And I'll close the book of Galatians with something that I said earlier in a study, in one of the chapters. If you obligate God to you by the law, if you're reading to obligate God to you, if you're praying to obligate God to you, and reading and praying, we've got to be doing that. We need to be doing that as Christians, but not to obligate God to us. If you're doing those things to obligate God to you, then there's a limit to it. God, I prayed for 2 weeks. You owe me now. What does God really owe you? But what's God going to give you for that? You owe me. I've done it. I've done my job. I've worked for this. You owe me. But it's limited. But God's grace is limitless because it's undeserved favor. And God can just keep pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring his grace on us so that we're overwhelmed and overcome by his love. And the Bible says it's the goodness of God that brings about repentance. God, you've been so good to me. I want to live for you. I want to die for you. I want to do that which you've called me to do. By the grace of God by which I stand. Pray with me, would you? Father, we do want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for the work that you have done inside of us as we have taken time to study Galatians. And we pray that we would never be caught up in any kind of legalism. Zero. But that we would find ourselves deeper in love with you, knowing that it is by your grace that we stand, not by our own works. Thank you that you gave us this book that we would not be caught up in legalism, but you have assured us that we have been set free. May God's grace bless us, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for a couple of minutes. And I would like to talk to those of you that are here that have never developed a relationship with Jesus. You've never come to that point where you've said, Lord, forgive me for my sins and come into my life. Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens that door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. He also said, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away and everything becomes new. Our God is the God of fresh starts. Perhaps you find yourself here today because you want a fresh start. And you may started going to church because you want a fresh start. And going to church is a good thing, but going to church can't save you. You aren't saved because you started going to church. There's not a list of approved churches at the gate of heaven to let you in. You've got to do personal business with Jesus. It's who you know, not what you know, that gets you into heaven. And so the Bible says, as many as receive him, capital H, Jesus, as many as receive him, to them he gives the power to become a child of God, to those who are called according to his name. You say, well, I'm not worthy of salvation. Done too much sin. God doesn't want me. To which I say to you, welcome to the club. Which one of us is worthy of salvation? None of us are. That's the point. You can't be saved in yourself. It's in him. Others of you feel too good. Never gone out and done anything really bad. Never murdered anybody. I'm not a major hater. But the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And God desires that all would be saved and all would come to the knowledge of the truth. God desires that you would enter into a deep, abiding relationship with him. If you're here today, you want to give your life to Christ, you want to begin to live for him, you want to be sold out for him, you're willing to say, as Paul was, I'll suffer many things for you. From here on out, I'm not coming to you in order to have my life enriched or better. I'm coming to you because you are God and I will serve you and follow you, even if it costs my life. And if that's you today, then I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand. Lift up your hand now. By lifting up your hand, you're saying, I want to give my life to Christ. I'm done living for myself and I'm ready to live for him. Lift your hand up now. Lift it up high so I can see it. God bless you up in the balcony, and God bless you, sir. That's great. Anyone else? God bless you, ma'am. The other balcony. That's awesome. Anyone else? Just raise your hand up now. Again, lift it up high so I can see it. I want to take time to pray for you. Pray with you. All right. You can put your hands down, and I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I have sinned, and I know my sin has separated me from you. But I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus upon the cross. So I invite you into my life, and I turn from my sin that I can live for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen.
We hope you've been blessed, encouraged, and edified by what you've heard here on Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Chapel here in Tucson, Arizona. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast for Practical Christian Living. If this ministry has blessed you and you'd like to support it with your financial gift of any amount, please mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive, that's Julian, Tucson, Arizona, 80. 5706. If you live in the Tucson area or you're ever visiting our community, we'd love for you to stop by one of our two campuses in East and Southwest Tucson. You can find service times online at calvarytucson.com. We'd love to have you visit for Bible study. Drop into our Solid Ground coffee shop and bookstore, or take a minute to look through our Mission Thrift Store located at our West Campus, which benefits our various missions projects. Have you accepted Jesus into your life or have questions about salvation? Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. That's S-A-V-E-D @calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram @CalvaryTucson or Facebook @CalvaryChapelTucson. And we want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN9. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.